Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
How many of y'all played Monopoly before? Raise your hand if you played Monopoly. How many of y'all know that's a great game to play in prison because it lasts forever? My uncle used to love to play it when I was a little kid, and we'd play, and it would go on for days. And then there was just something about it that was really fun and entertaining. And somebody actually, I told them I was preaching on this, and they sent me a picture, which I thought was so funny. It says, there's a new millennial version. This is a joke. It says, a millennial monopoly. It says, the rules are simple. You start with no money. You can't afford anything. The board's on fire for no reason, and everything's your fault. So give it up for all the millennials in the house who struggle. Monopoly, the interesting thing about Monopoly is there's this big pile of money, and it doesn't really, you know, you look at it, but you want it because you're wanting to buy some stuff. And how many of y'all know there's always somebody out there smarter than you buying up all the houses and the hotels? Raise your hand. And you're like me, and sometimes you try to save the money, and then you wind up, you know, going to jail and needing to get it more, you know, get it out, you know. So you're like, okay, what is this money? I need to, and you got somebody in there cheating it. Anybody in the family ever cheated? Come on, not you, but you know people that cheated. Come on, raise your hand. Point if you know the person next to you, they're the cheater, okay? The money, but the money, it doesn't upset you too bad because you know the money's not real. It's not really real. It's just paper money. This here is the new Monopoly game that shoots money, I think. It just comes out with money and just shoots money. It's pretty cool, huh? I've never used it before, but they told me it just spits money. How many of y'all like something like this with real money? The government has one of these. They just do it all the time. And it just shoots money. Money, money. But there's not real money, but nobody's really upset because there's not a lot of value to it because it's just fake paper money. But in reality, when you get to heaven, how many of y'all want to go to heaven someday? Raise your hand. How many of y'all know if there's a bus going tonight, though, you don't want to go? Raise your hand if you don't want to go. Okay, so someday you want to go to heaven. When you get to heaven, the interesting thing about it is our money, you see it in your pocket, you're thinking it really is real money, but not in heaven, it's not real money. It's just paper. It's all paper. Everybody shout, it's all paper. But for some reason, this real money that we have in our pocket, we're like, well, no, this is real money, and this is fake money. And now both of these, in God's economy, you can't buy anything when you get to heaven. And so here on earth, we have to make sure that we have a right relationship with these little pieces of paper. And so there's nothing wrong with money. First of all, God wants you to be blessed. Certainly he does. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But God wants to make sure that we have a revelation that we are stewards and not owners. You know, the part I hated about Monopoly is when it was all done, you had to pick up all the little pieces and you had to pick up all the money. Remember that? And you organized it back up, and then inadvertently in the middle of the night you'd walk and hit a hotel on your foot. Anybody know how? And so, but it was all like, it's just not real, so it's not a big deal. God sees it this way. God sent Jesus because he loves us so much that he knew that he wanted a relationship with us, and this relationship with us should not just be, it shouldn't be monetized. It should be, God, I love you not because you're going to give me money, not because you're going to give me a house, not because you're going to give me a hotel. God, I love you because you first love me. And when you get to heaven, you're going to realize that this little paper trail that we have called money, it did some things, but it shouldn't have really wrecked our world so much. We shouldn't have spent so much time trying to make it. We shouldn't have spent so much time trying to serve it. And again, money's good. It helps people, but a wrong relationship can really mess you up. So the cool part about that I want to share with you right now is God always talks about stewards. Stewards versus owners. Everybody shout, stewards versus owners. I have a friend this week, and we were riding motorcycles together, and he was on a rental motorcycle, and he was just tearing it up like it was just at a red light, and it was like, wah! We weren't going anywhere. He was just fogging up the neighborhood. And my other buddy, who we had just picked up, he said, is that a rental? And he goes, yeah. He goes, oh, okay. Because you automatically assume if you're renting it, just trash it. Nobody's ever took the rental car to the car wash, vacuumed it out, and waxed it. Come on, somebody. You just try to see if you can tear it up. Raise your hands. You're lying to me today. But steward versus owner. Now, if it's your car, you want to be careful about it. Well, God's really finicky about you. He said that I loved you so much and I've given my whole life for you. I want to make sure that you understand that everything in the world is mine. He said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. That means the cars are his, the cows are his, the chickens are his. Everything is his. You have to ask yourself a question. Who do I belong to? Your life is not your own. You're bought with a price. I mean, God sent Jesus for you and I to actually be a worshiper of God. So you must realize that not only is our money not really ours and we're steward, but our property's not really ours. And then ultimately, our life is really not ours. We're bought with a price. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're supposed to do good works and change the world for Jesus. Somebody else shout amen to this. So when you realize that you're a steward, not an owner, you kick into the principle that Jesus talks about in Matthew, where he says there was a guy who had 5 talents, a guy that had 4 talents, 3 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. And he said they were stewards. Everybody shout it again, steward. They were stewards over this money. And the one who had 5 went and doubled it down. He said, okay, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then he took the 5 that he had and he said 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And when God came back, he said, what about you, the guy that only had 1? What did you do? And he said, I knew that you were a hard master. Notice that people always blame other people for why they are not successful. Instead of saying, hey, I'm scared, I'm not good with money, whatever, he just said, I knew that you were a hard master, so I took what you gave me and I dug a hole and I put it in there. And then God looks at him and says, you wicked, twisted servant. You should have at least taken the money that I gave you and invested it with the interest so that you would come back to me in a more productive manner. So he takes it from the guy and he goes and gives it to the dude with the 10. And this is exactly why oftentimes some people are more blessed than others, because they have a right relationship with money. They're not afraid of money. Because see, if you're afraid of money, you get all you can all you get, and sit on your can. And you wait for a rainy day, and I'm afraid, and I don't know what to do, and I'm not good with money. But when you realize that it just flows like this Monopoly money was just shooting out at you, God said, I am able to bless you. I'm able to bless you coming in and bless you going out. Everything your hand touches turns to good. But he wants to make sure that we are not hoarders. We're not hoarding, but we're actually saying, God, this is your money. This is your life. And all the time that I have left, I'm going to make sure that I have a right relationship with everything that is yours. And then you're not totally driven by greed. There's two sides of this little ramp that I'm on right now. I got the right side and the left side, and I try to stay somewhere in the middle of the road. But there's dangers and ditches on both sides for me. If I get too far over here, I'm going to fall off and hurt myself. If I get too far over here, I'm going to fall off and hurt myself. And I want to use that as an example to talk about people who have a poverty mindset and people who have a they basically have a materialistic mindset. In other words, if it's not this brand and it doesn't cost this much, then I don't even want it. Or this person over here who judges people and says, you know what, I can't believe anybody would ever spend any money on anything other than just the necessities in life. They're both wrong. God wants us to be in the middle of the road using wisdom and godly principles to make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do with the money. Because again, he sees that real money, you call it real money in your pocket, is just as fake as this money. It's just as fake. So it doesn't impress him. I mean, right now, if this was real cash, we'd have had to have some accounting people count it and make sure it made it back to accounting, because, you know, inadvertently somebody would try to steal this money. Come on, somebody understands this. Somehow money just goes missing. But this money we're not so worried about. May I tell you that God's not really that worried about that real money that you have. He says, you know, I have the ability, Deuteronomy 8:18, if you're a note taker, write it down. He said, I've given you the power, the ability to get wealth that you can establish the covenant. In other words, I'll give you all the money you need if the money's not just for you to hoard up. If the money's just not for you to pour it on yourself in some kind of crazy lavish lifestyle. Can't you just use good judgment? Will you do that? That's what Solly's asking. Is he's asking you and I to say, hey, will you be a faithful steward of what I've given you, or will you totally hoard it upon yourself? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 6 says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into the nostrils the breath of life and became a living being. Now the Lord God planted a garden in the east of Eden. And there he put the man that he had formed, that guy God owns. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow upon the ground. And the trees were pleasing to the eye, good for food. In the middle of the garden there was a tree, though, the tree of life. It was the knowledge of good and evil. Jump to verse 15. And the Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Work it, take care of it. He put him there to work it and take care of it. That sounds like a steward. Everybody shout, a steward. In other words, he said, you don't own the garden. You're going to work it and take care of it. You're a steward. But you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for if you eat it, you will surely die. God was saying, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set up ownership. When my friend put the motorcycle back this week to the rental place, he didn't come in to make an announcement and say, hey guys, I want all the staff to come around. I got a big announcement. I'm giving you guys a motorcycle. They would have laughed because he was returning what already belonged to them. So God is establishing ownership, and he's saying, hey, the title to your life, the title to your well-being, the title to your resources, actually, I own it, and I'm actually giving you a lease in space in life to see if you will handle this right or the money will handle you. Will you stay in the garden and realize, man, there's plenty for you to eat over here. There's plenty for you to eat over there. But instead, why do you keep wanting what you can't have? There's just something about human nature. We're always wanting something we can't have. It sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church tonight. I wonder what that guy would be like. I wonder what that girl would be like. I wonder what that car would be like. I wonder what that town would be like. I wonder, instead of enjoying what we have and saying, God, you've blessed me, and I love you, Jesus, and I'm super thrilled with what you've done, and I promise you I won't touch that which is yours because it belongs to you. I'm returning it, and I will not touch it. But the Bible says that there's this serpent that came in, this other way of thinking, that said, hey, why don't you come over here, man, and buy everything you can? Because after all, your friends will be really impressed if you own all this stuff. I'm telling you what, you got to be very careful, because pride and trying to impress people can really get you into some deep debt. Debt, doing everything but thinking. Now, again, this isn't your money anyway. It's a proven fact that most people spend more money than they have. Other people, if you're like, man, I remember like 20 years ago, you would have dreamed to make the kind of money that you do now, but somehow you keep making more money, but then the spending goes up because there's the iPhone 10. Somebody ought to help me right now. And there's shoes and there's cars and you just stuff and more stuff. And so now what we do is we allow the serpent, who he's been all the way back in the garden. He said, did God say don't touch that? Well, I don't know. I guess it'd be okay if I touched it. God is the owner of all, including us, and so he wants us to steward it properly. And here's the reason why. Not because he wants our money. He wants our heart. I'm going to say it again. Not because he wants our money, because he wants our heart. Because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So if you're all about money and all you think about is money and you can't hardly sleep at night worrying about money, and you can't wake up in the morning without thinking about money, and your favorite song is money, 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 money. Okay, money. The Bible calls it mammon. We get our word flesh from that, mankind. Six in numerology, not a good number. Seven is new beginnings unto God. 10 is completion. Everybody shout completion. God is wanting to complete you and realize, hang on a minute, I'm not trying to take away the one that you have. I'm actually wanting to bless you with more. Remember I told you the story a minute ago, how God took from the one guy and said, wicked, we get our word wicker, twisted. You twisted servant. And he takes it from the one guy who you think, that's not fair. This guy's got 10. He's only got one. God's not about fair. He's about law. He's about, hey, here's the way I said that it's got to be. So he takes it from him because this person's a good steward. Here's what I know about God. Here's what I know about banks. Here's what I know about successful business people. They're always looking for people to steward their stuff well. Yeah. In other words, they're looking to loan. The bank wants to give me more money than I want to take because I've never been late. And we always pay on time and we do what we need to do. And so they're always wanting to give me more money. I don't want any more money. I want to get rid of them as soon as possible. We owe them $10 million, the church does. And how many of y'all think we should just print a bunch of money and pay that thing off? But what I'm saying is anybody in their right mind is faithful stewards. That you're managing their money. They're saying, hey, hang on, I'm going to really take an account what you're doing with it. And then if necessary, I'll take it from this person and give it to somebody that's pretty good with it. Here's what I need you to get a hold of this weekend. God spoke to me and said he's looking for a people who will say, God, this is the year in 2019 that I'm going to stop having a wrong relationship with money. And I'm not going to be over here on the materialistic side. And I'm not going to be over here in the fear side of I'm probably never going to have enough. I'm going to see money as just paper. And when I get to heaven, only what is done with this money that makes a kingdom move, that changes people's lives, really makes an eternal difference. Because when you die with all the toys, you're still dead. Somebody say amen. No matter where you work or where you live or how big your boat is, somebody's always got a bigger boat. I was on a boat this week with a donor, $2.3 million boat. That's quite a bit of money. Although I've been on a $10 million boat, that was a lot more money. And then I was on a $14 million boat, and that was even more money. And then I was on a boat that I loved the most that had a spiral staircase and a hot tub, and I don't even know what that cost, but I really enjoyed myself. But what I've noticed about these people sometimes is that some of them have the right relationship with money, and then others, it's an ego thing. It's like, my boat, it's got to be bigger than that. Oh, man, they got a bigger boat. Somebody's always going to have a bigger boat. Somebody's always going to have a bigger life. You have to be content with the lot that God has given you and say, you know what, somebody would love to be me. Come on, somebody help me right now. Somebody would love to have my deal. Somebody would love to enjoy my life, because at the end of the day, what really, really matters is what did you do with that money? Did you worship it? Did you lay in bed and count it? Did you rub on it? Oh, I love it. Did you fan yourself with it? What'd you do with it? Did you look at it in a bank account and just look at all the numbers going up, and then when the dot-com failure happened or this happened, now your whole life felt ruined because your life was not about God. It wasn't about family. It wasn't about the blessing. It was about hoarding resources, and now you're scared, afraid, because you did not honor God. Malachi 3, verse 8 says, will a man rob God? And he says, wherein have you rob me? So, well, you've robbed me in tithe and offerings. Everybody shout tithe and offerings. Notice there's two different things. You got tithe and offerings. You are under a curse in the whole nation because of your robbing me. Bring, everybody shout bring. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Test me in this. Test me. It's the only place you see where God says, test me. Test me in this and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing, you would not be able to contain it. In other words, you can go from a wrong relationship with money and you just have a little bit. All of a sudden, you get in the middle of the road and you get the right relationship with money, and now God causes people to bring resources into your hand, and you're at the right place at the right time. You're serving the right God. You make more money by accident than most people do on purpose, because now you realize that money isn't something for hoarding. That money is it's called currency, because it's supposed to have a current. It's supposed to flow. It's supposed to change people's life. That's what money's for. And when you get this right relationship with God, God looks at you and he goes, somebody gets it. Because trust me when I tell you that God is looking for some people to say, God, my life is not my own. I'm bought with a price. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't even be here today, God. I love you today. I don't even love you for what you can do for me. I don't care if I'm a base or a bound. Jesus, I just love you. Then God will actually use you in spite of you. May I tell you that I'm a notorious sinner? May I tell you that I never went to Bible school? Can I tell you that I'm the least most likely to ever get to do this? But the only thing that I have really going for me is saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, my life is yours. My breath is yours. My heart is yours. God, I'm a divorced, lying, messed up mess. And then God looks at me and goes, look at this. Okay, I will give you more resources. Let's give you more buildings. Will you go on television or will you try to live in a big house? No, I'll go on television. Okay. And then I take the resources. And as we speak right now, Steve, back there in the back, we're building, is it two or three new churches? Two. And where are we building those? It's India. In India, we're actually, he just got back last week. He was sending me pictures over there. The brick is actually, the stone, concrete block is going up. And the wells have already been dug because when you give to this church, you don't give to this church, you give through this church. So you guys have ambulances out at places. Come on, somebody. You're rescuing girls out of sex trafficking. Somebody ought to say amen right now. God is looking for a people who says, hey, this is nothing more but monopoly money to me, God. This is not mine. This is yours. This belongs to you. God's looking for that person. Will you be that person? And oftentimes people say, well, I will when I get more money. No, you won't. I will when I have less bills. No, you won't. I will when... No. When you realize eventually that God is your provider and that he says you're robbing me with the tithe and the offering, then all of a sudden now you can say, wait a minute, what's the tithe? What is the tithe? Some of you don't know. The tithe, that word means tenth. Everybody shout tenth. The word tithe means tenth. Doesn't mean last third. It means the first tenth percent belongs to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his first son. He's demonstrating the law of first fruits. So if he would give Jesus, can you imagine how offensive it would be? Like, he gives Jesus and we go, I can't even give you any of my paper money though, because I love this money. Somebody told me the other day, they said, Christmas isn't the same anymore to me. It just doesn't feel like Christmas anymore. Doesn't have that feeling. And I knew the person. I said, you know why? Because you're not a giver. Christmas still feels the same way with me because I love to give. So when I give to people, I go, I know they're going to like this. They're going to love. I can't wait. I mean, I don't even know if I can wait to Christmas to give this to them because they're going to flip a lid. Come on, someone. So it's like, oh, it's magical to me. I'm like, I can't wait. But other people go, it's just not the same anymore because if you can't buy me Gucci, if I can't be Louis, then... you've lost the meaning. God said, hey, I love you so much. I'm going to give you my first and only son. And so he sows that. And he's glad he did. And I'm all super glad because we were on a fast pass to hell. Don't collect $200. Somebody ought to help me right now. We were on our way. And Jesus, everybody shout, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus is the first one to provide the redemptive price necessary to buy back our freedom. So 10. If you can count to 10, you can count to a million. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And it starts over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Starts over, right? If you're going to go to 20 or 30 or 100, 99 and 100, then you're back at 10 and you're going again. It's the sum total. It is the completion of everything. God is saying, hey, if you can give me the 10, I will honor you, but it must be the first 10, not the last 10. So let's do this. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So if we made $10,000, how much money would we need to return to God? $1,000. If we were blessed with $1,000, God gave us breath and breeches, and we got $1,000, how much money would we need to return to God? 100. Which 100? First 100. What oftentimes people mess up on is because they don't understand the law of first, that it's just technical with God, is they go, hey, I've got to pay my car payment. I got to pay my house payment. I got to pay my child support, my alimony, palimony, my parking tickets. And then, well, now I know I can't rip off God, so they bring the last fruits to God. But God's like, no. This is you wicked, twisted servant. The first, because it doesn't take any faith to give God the last, but it takes tons of faith to go, I don't even know how this is going to happen, but I know that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God, I know that you will get it to me if you can get it through me, but if he can't get it through you, then he will never get it to you because you're wicked and twisted. And it's not that he doesn't love you. And I want to make sure everybody understands, this is not a heaven or hell thing. You can go to heaven and rip God off all day long. Just hose the man. Right? Just steal him blind. And you still go to heaven. But you would not understand true riches. You wouldn't understand the freedom of being liberal. As in, the liberal soul, Proverbs 11:25, let's put it on the screen. It says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall also be watered. The liberal soul, write that down. I don't know that they have it. Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. In other words, God is saying, if you're faithful over the little, I'll make you ruler over the much. If you're not faithful over the little, I won't make you ruler over the much. This all goes back to trust. Can God trust you with money? And you're like, I don't know, I love it so much. And God's looking at it going, are you kidding me? This monopoly money? Like, you don't even know what real money is. Like, the gold standard back in the day backed money, and it was backed by the gold standard, and it had some value. Now we're way past that, but God still backs heaven by the gold standard in the sense that up there, it says that his streets are solid gold. So he's looking at it going, that's real. This monopoly money you speak of in America or in France, it's all different. When you go to different parts of the world, I was just in Australia the other day, and the money looks fake. I'm like, this is the fakest looking money in the world. I'm in Mexico. This is the fakest looking money in the world. And then I go to give them a $100 bill, and they go, that's the fakest looking money I've ever seen. How do I know that that's real? Because they think, this just looks like paper. To them, this is the franc. This is the euro. See what I'm saying? So to God, it's all nothing but paper. And he's like, I don't understand how I could love you so much that I would send my son and I would bless you with a job and I'd bless you with health and I'd do all this. And then you got the job, but now you're stealing a dime out of a dollar? Really, Shaquita? I thought we were deeper than that. Tithing, the first 10% belongs to God, not the last, the first. Proverbs 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of thy increase, so shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses burst out with new wine. Remember a while ago when this thing was just shooting cash? It's out now, but it was fun while it lasted. It was shooting cash everywhere. The Bible said that we would be so blessed that it would shoot out everywhere. But you and I have to realize that God is looking for someone to bless, but first we have to be blessable and realize, wait a minute, God is a businessman and he's looking at us saying, will you honor me with the first fruits or will you dishonor me by not returning the tithe? Last passage of scripture in Genesis 4, verse 3, it says, and in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil of the offering. And Abel brought of the firstlings of the flock of the fat. Thereof the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering, but unto Cain's offering he had no respect. Cain was very upset, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you upset? Why is your countenance fallen? In other words, you had the ability to bring the first fruits. But you did it. Cain said, hey, you know what? I'll bring some of, hey, I'm coming to church. I'll give God some money. Here you go, God. And Abel said, I'm going to bring the first fruits. I'm not just going to toss it to God. Here's something that goes along with this whole stewards and owners. This building was owned by Life Christian Center. A guy named Rick Shelton and Donna and a bunch of great people built one of the finest churches in America. It was one of the first mega churches in the 80s. Phenomenal. And give it up for those people who did that. And we're standing on their shoulders today, but I remember one day when God gave me a dream and he said, I'm going to give you this building. And I was in the Caymans on a guy's yacht. And I said, God, I can't afford that. God, we just bought our city. It's too big. I can't do it. And he looked at the ocean. He said, no, that's not big. This is big. And he showed me the ocean. And then that same day, believe it or not, Rick Shelton called me. And he was in Australia. And he said, the Lord spoke to me that you're supposed to have this building. And I was excited and scared at all at the same time. And little did I know at the time that it needed about $9 million worth of repairs. Had you told me how much it would have cost to do it, I would have said, screw that, it's not going to happen. Because I would have thought that I had to do it. But God has this way of tricking you because he realizes monopoly money's not a problem, David. I can get the money to you if I can get the money through you. Do you have enough faith to say, yeah, we'll take it? Will you sacrifice enough to do it? Somebody ought to shout amen, because this could be a tool that could change people's lives. And I'm telling you, thousands of people's lives have been changed all because of Jesus, but you should have seen it when Jesus had it by himself. He's looking for somebody to say, I'll honor you, God. And then here we are with this great tool. And God just sees this, your job, as a source, not the source. When you realize that he is the source, then you're not upset if they fire you. You're like, I was looking for a job when I found that one. See you later. I'm taking my little paycheck out of here for a few weeks. I might start my own business. Come on down and say amen to this. Because you're no longer tied to, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You say, I'm a tither. I first fruit God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. The liberal soul shall be made fat. I've said yes to God. I was in the Cain and Abel story. I'm the one who said the first fruit belongs to God and I'll never touch what's God. God's. I'll never allow a snake to come tell me, has God said that that's holy? No, it is holy. Some things are precious to people. That's why it hurts me sometimes when I see people who don't have much and then somebody takes advantage of them and all they had was that. Somebody robbing a homeless person or stealing from some poor widow or taking advantage of somebody. And God sees it that way when you and I take advantage of the ability to steal the money. And he sees it as stealing from people because he knows if I could get you in alignment, you could have a big church like this. I'll give you these buildings. But man, it's so easy. And I point all these fingers back to me. So easy for our lives to get so self-absorbed, so about us, so about our ego. And let me tell you, it never gets better. And I have the opportunity to be around some really poor people and some really rich people. And neither one impressed me. Some of my guys were with me this week when we were around some really rich people and went to dinner with them and on this yacht and hanging out. And I never treat them any different. Do whatever I want to do, the way I want to do it, and roll the way we roll, and not impressed by whatever. But I watch those sometimes. There's like a spirit. I don't know how to describe it, guys, but I can see it on people when all of a sudden people start bragging about, well, you know, I had this idea and that idea. And here's the problem with people sometimes with money. Sometimes you look at people that have stuff and don't realize they owe the bank so much money, they're actually broke as a joke. They really don't have any of that. They're one payment away from losing it all. So don't be fooled by these materialistic 10Xers who are actually putting a $100 bill on top of a bunch of ones, or they rented a Lambo for a week. A lot of this stuff is built on shady principles that isn't legit. Many times I've seen at our church, some people, like, there'd be a bunch of people in the room and everybody would defer refer to the person who had the Lambo when really they should have talked to the guy who had the minivan, because I knew for a fact the guy with the minivan had more money and smarter, but they were so impressed with that. Oh yeah, look at that. Somebody ought to shout amen. Amen. So make sure this is, as we wrap this up, make sure that you don't allow pride to be like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just nasty looking to me. God gives grace to the humble. If you say, if it wasn't for the power of God that gave me this money, I would not be able to do what God called me to do. So God, not only do I count it and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I've got 9 left because I gave you, I returned the 1, but I've got 9 left. God, I know that this now is holy because it has been made holy by the 1. But if it's not made holy by the 1, then I just have 10. And the Bible says you're like a person who has holes in your pocket. So I meet people all the time who say, I don't know how we did it. We just decided, my husband, I heard this story this today. My husband lost his job, and then we decided that 2 weeks ago we're just going to tithe after he lost his job. Somehow, we paid the bills, and the cool thing is, he got a job making 6 times the amount of money that he'd made before. Those are true factual statements, because the person had a right relationship with God, and they said, there's no time like now to just be right with God and honor God with the first fruits. And then, also remember as I close, if you really want to be a faithful steward, you'll still look at the 9 that you have left and go, God, you actually own all this. This is all yours. So if you want it, what do you want me to do? And he might tell you, hey, go bless that person. Or he might tell you, hey, look, the church needs to build another well. Instead of building 2 churches in India, let's build 3. I don't know what he's going to tell you to do. He may tell you to keep it, but you definitely got to return to him what belongs to him. And remember, it said tithe and offering. So after a while, you're like, hey, what did it cost you, though? And then realize as a steward, none of this belongs to you. And when you have that right relationship with money, God will bless you, and you'll look back at yourself at the end of 2019 and going into 2020 and go, man, thank God I figured this out, because I was way over here, maybe some of you with a poverty mentality, and you're worried about money, and you think about it, and you get up to alarm clock for it, or the other people that are materialistic, and they're like, I need a bigger boat, a bigger house, a bigger, 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 bigger. Bigger is not always better. Once you get there, you might realize, man, I wish I didn't have that big of a house. You really need a house. I've come to this conclusion. You need a house with a bed and a shower and a kitchen, and most of your family, including your dogs, will always meet you in one of those little areas. So the rest you're paying taxes on and having a maid clean it. So just enjoy your life where you are right now, because bigger doesn't always mean better.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.